Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth from my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Big Move podcast. I am your host, Em, from fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. I am really excited today to be here with one of my best friends in London. Today, I'm sitting here with Danielle Pieser. Danielle is a trained dancer turned lifestyle and fitness influencer. She is also a certified personal trainer and has started her own fitness method called the Danielle Pieser Method. She has 1 million loyal followers on Instagram, as well as an engaged YouTube presence. Danielle, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. We're sitting here in my humble abode, my little flat.
It's so nice and cozy.
So thanks for taking the time today. So I guess first and foremost, I want to get into sort of how Danielle and I met. So I've known you as long as I've lived in London. So we're going on almost 2 years of friendship now.
Nearly 2 years, I know. I feel like that's literally just flown by.
I know, it's absolutely flown, it's crazy. So when I moved over a year and a half ago, it was in July, so it was like midsummer. And we have a mutual friend, Vanessa, who used to work for a brand called Skinny Dip. And she invited us to go to Love Box Festival. And that is the first time that we all kind of met and hung out. And it's funny because I literally had like gotten off the plane and then Friday night was Love Box Festival. I had no idea what to expect, no idea what to wear, no idea what I was getting myself into. But yeah, that's the first time that we actually like met.
But for someone who'd never even experienced London life, let alone like a London music festival, I feel like you did really good. You were really thrown in at the deep end there, like the height of summer at a London music festival.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you held your own, like you did good. Yeah, we just kind of sat in the VIP area, got some, you were drinking beer. I remember that.
Yeah, like, oh my God,
this
yeah.
This girl's cool, she's drinking beer.
Oh my gosh. And like, one of the first things I remember was like the fashion at Love Box Festival. It was like literally insane.
Yeah, anything goes.
Anything goes. I think I played it very safe. I wore like a jean skirt and like a black, like over the shoulder top situation. Yeah. Just like very easy breezy. Too funny. So one of the things Danielle and I always kind of poke at, I guess, is my sort of one American accent and two, my play on some of the very like London terms that I have been learning over the past year and a half.
It's crazy though, obviously, because, you know, obviously we speak the same language, so we understand each other perfectly fine. But then either you or I will come out with something and the other one is like, what are you talking about? So, like one of the first times you, I think you got an invite to an event in London and it was like one of those like kind of fancy evening events. And it says on the invite, it said, oh, join us for a champagne reception and canapes. And Em was like, she called me or texted me or I saw her. And I remember you saying like, what are canapes? What are canapes? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she was like, champagne reception and canapes. And I was like, oh my God, you mean canapes. But obviously because to you, they're appetizers. Is that right?
Appetizers, hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, completely new. Like, yeah. And I just went for it. Like the pronunciation, I think I said it to you and Vanessa and you guys were like, you just started laughing.
Dying.
Yeah. That one's a good one. And then I think I said to you, oh, like I'm going to go try this fitness studio called P-Cycle. So it's not P-Cycle, it's Cycle. The P is silent.
Silent. Yeah.
And it's basically the sort of soul cycle of London.
Yeah. We've never let you live that down.
Yeah, no, it comes up often. Yeah, just getting familiar with some of the terms, like vegetable names that you guys have
I'm still. Aubergine.
Yeah, aubergine, courgette.
Courgette.
Yeah. Courgette.
Rocket.
Okay.
Instead of arugula.
Yeah, arugula, yeah. Right. The list goes on.
Yeah. But you know, you're blending in well.
Yeah, trying over here. And now I've picked up things that you say. Like, I feel like I say, oh yeah, she smashed it.
Yeah.
Instead of like...
crashed it.
Yeah.
Which is what you always say.
Crashed it.
You recently have got me onto, what was it? I'm down with that.
Yeah.
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 I feel like you've been saying that quite a lot recently, or it's like started to stick with me. I'm like, oh yeah, we're doing that. I'm down with that. Like, I'm totally down with that. But it just doesn't sound right with my accent. I feel like I need yours, which is why every so often I'll like slip into your accent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And badly, yeah. By the way.
Yes, but it's always hysterical. I'm always down for it. Perfect. So I have a couple icebreaker questions for you that I've been asking every guest. So first one is, what are the first three things that you do when you get up in the morning?
Okay, this has actually changed like since the start of 2019 because I now don't go on social media. And I used to all the time. So that like one thing that has changed, but things that I definitely do is I wake up and I take a shot of, it's called Simprove, and it's like a probiotic like cleansing drink, and you have to take it before you have anything else. So I get up, I live on my own, so I can like literally wander around my flat, like looking however I want, walk into my kitchen, take a shot of that, then put the kettle on and then make hot water with fresh lemon, ginger and honey in it.
Ooh. Like that.
Because I've heard that kind of gets your digestive system going. So I take that, but obviously it's so hot that then I'll go in the shower. So they're like kind of the first like three things, like probiotic, the lemon and ginger, and then shower.
Okay.
And that's like before I'll go on any sort of social media.
Love that.
Like I won't, that's one thing I've set myself for this year. Because I've found being like a freelancer as well, if you don't actually have to get up, I could be in bed just scrolling on Instagram until like 11 a.m.
Yeah, it's such a time suck.
Yeah, whereas this way, it's kind of like I have to do those things first. And then once I'm dressed, I can then like Instagram my life away if I want.
I love that. I love that tip. And we're going to get into that in a little bit more nitty gritty later on. So, okay, second icebreaker question. And I obviously know the answer to this, but I just can't wait for you to spell it out for everyone. Because I feel like it's quite unique. What is your favorite alcoholic beverage?
Okay, so fun fact, I'm not sure how fun this fact will be. I only started drinking when I was 25.
It still blows my mind.
Right? Especially for like in London as well, like kids are drinking at like 14. They're going to the park and they're drinking like bottles of cider.
It's such a drinking culture here.
Yeah, it really is. I feel like I'm really starting to catch up though. Like now whenever we go out, I'm like, wine? So yeah, my favorite drink has to be rosé, but it has to be rosé with like a dash of Sprite. I mean, we call it lemonade, but I feel like you guys call it Sprite, 7-Up. Like lemonade for you is like freshly, like homemade lemonade, right?
Absolutely. They're two totally separate things.
Yeah.
So it's like Sprite is soda and then like lemonade is a juice.
Yeah, no. So we call Sprite lemonade as well.
Oh my God. I just don't.
But yes, yeah, so okay, I have like a rosé spritzer with some Sprite in it.
Okay.
That's like my go-to.
Okay.
And like the paler the rosé, the better.
Okay, got it. So you need a little sweetness.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Okay. Like I'm a massive like sweet drink rather than anything that's too bitter.
Okay, cool. So we'll get right into the fun questions. So as you know, I've been talking to you about launching this podcast and sort of the inspiration behind it and why it's called The Big Move. So I want to talk about your background and sort of your career trajectory, journey, all of that stuff. So first and foremost, you are a trained dancer, and that's sort of really when your career started, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I danced since I was a kid after school. It was just like the hobby that always stuck. Then I went to a full-time ballet college from 16 to 18 years old. And then after that, I went into like a full-time dance career. So I did like backing dancing. So I danced for like Katy Perry and like Justin Timberlake and some really, really cool artists, got to do some really cool things. So that was literally, I think, for the best part of, I would say, 10 years, my career. And that's kind of all I ever really knew about. That was me. I was set.
Wow.
And then I didn't really think about the next thing, the big move, as it were.
Yeah.
Until things started to happen.
Totally. Okay, so I want to back up a little bit. What was life on the road as a dancer like?
It was so much fun.
Okay.
It's definitely not as glamorous as I think people think it is, because, you know, you'll see these celebrities get on and off of like private jets and in these fancy cars and red carpets. like, just take a second to think about the dancers that are on, like, the commercial plane, like, sat somewhere near the back, probably have the earliest call time and finish the latest so that the artist obviously isn't there, you know, that long. But I always was really fortunate that the people that I worked with, that, like, my fellow dancers, we did always create such a nice family vibe, because they are, that essentially your family when you're away from your own family, and you kind of have to stick together. You'll have bad days, you have good days, you laugh, you cry together. Totally. You're literally living in each other's pockets. So it's something that I will, like, always have such fond memories of. And I'm actually really grateful for the discipline I think it's now given me in, like, the next chapter in my life, having that discipline as a dancer and having to kind of have my life together. It's kind of definitely helped me, like, like, move on from that.
Absolutely. And so you said you didn't really sort of think about that next step. So, like, how did that unfold? How did you go from sort of dancing to where you are now, which is, you know, you're this, like, fitness guru, lifestyle influencer, you're kind of, like, doing it all.
It's a weird one, because I think when I started dancing, although I didn't think about what I wanted to do next, I knew that by the time I reached 30, I wanted to have moved on to the next thing. I just didn't know what that next thing was. And I think, like most of us, I just thought something would come up. Like, you know, it just would happen in an organic way. And actually, that kind of is how it happened. At like 26, obviously, I'd been on social media for a while. And my following, you know, was strong. They were really loyal. They're great. And I think this is kind of back in the days where, before, like, nowadays, where literally Instagram is a career. It was kind of getting a buzz, but no one really knew it could be, like, a job, I guess. And I just kind of started putting things that I do online. I started obviously with Twitter and Instagram. Then I got Facebook, which I don't really tend to use that much. And then, like, YouTube came a little later on. And I found that people were just responding really well. So I just kind of literally went with it. But at the same time, I was still doing the odd dance job. And it was only when these opportunities within the social media world and, like, obviously the fitness world of social media started to grow that I thought, hang on a second, this is kind of the transition that I was looking for, and I didn't even realise it was here.
Yeah.
And because obviously fitness is so big on social media, and my expertise is in dance, which is a perfectly credible form of fitness, I thought, well, hang on, I've got something. I've already got my USP. I don't need to search to be something. I can literally just be me and do what I do.
Yeah.
And actually people care about that. And then it's kind of just grown from there, and then it just kind of carried on going. I kind of got known as the girl that did the dance workouts online. And I worked with a few other companies on that, and then thought, hang on a second, I'm kind of doing this for other companies. Why don't I just do it for myself? And then that was kind of where, like, my method and that came from.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like it was so organic for you.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I think we've talked about this. It's like, if you're an athlete or a dancer, sometimes it's really hard to think about, like, what's next? Like, what do I do?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's great that it was just the sort of, like, easy transition for you.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. So let's talk about your method.
Okay.
So what is the Danielle Pizer method?
Essentially, the Danielle Pizer method is a way of working out, which derives from my training as a dancer. So obviously when I was dancing, I had to be able to incorporate loads of different skills. You know, you have to have a certain skill set. Obviously, you have to be able to dance. And that is, you know, the style element of DPM. I have to have amazing stamina, because in order to get through a 2-hour concert doing 16 numbers, obviously you have to have the stamina. And then obviously you have to have the strength and the body to support all these other things that you need to do. So then that is classed under, like, DPM Sculpt. So essentially it's kind of sweat, style and sculpt that is what makes up the Danielle Pizer method. And really, I just want it to be a method mainly aimed at women, not going to lie, although, you know, there are exercises, of course, that men can do as well. But just to make women feel really empowered, feel confident when they work out, also have a really good time. I find a lot of the fitness world now, it's very one-dimensional, and it's kind of, you know, you have to punish yourself in the gym. You have to sweat until, you know, your eyeballs bleed and, like, all of these, like, really intense things. And I'm like, guys, like, you can still get a great workout, but have a good time. So all of my workouts are very playlist focused. All of my live classes, like, I really think about my playlist, and I want, you know, the ladies that are in my class to be able to sing along and kind of get into the music, because it kind of distracts as well from the pain and the burn that they're feeling.
Yeah.
However, people come up to me at the end and they're dripping with sweat, and their bodies are sore, or they'll mess with me the next day and say, I can barely walk, but I didn't feel like I was working out.
Yeah.
And that's what my career was. I was working out every day as a dancer, but I never, ever felt like it was a chore or that I was having to force myself to do exercise because I enjoyed what I was doing so much. And that's, I guess, what I want to be able to like spread to other people, that you can work out, you can get all of those things that you need, your cardio in, your, you know, your weights, because I involve weights in my workouts as well, you know, and also a little bit of fun style. And you can do that and still have a good time as well. I think that's like my main thing, like helping people feel empowered, confident, and also obviously get fit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I just did one of your live classes.
Yes, you did.
And I'm so with you. I think music is huge. Yeah. It's like feeling like you're having fun, having good energy. And my abs hurt so badly the next like couple of days after. And I feel like I do a bit of a range of classes around London. And that was one of the biggest things I noticed. And it's true because you're working your core so much. You don't even realize it though.
Yeah.
Until after. So what are sort of, where are you at with the method and what are the future plans? Are you going to open up studios or sort of what does that look like?
I mean, I think my like 5 to 7 year plan, I would absolutely love a studio, but I think because I'm quite a perfectionist, it has to be done right. It has to be done in the right way. So it's not something that I'm kind of just gonna, you know, off the cuff, just go and do. Obviously, my online community is incredible, so I'm going to continue giving them the content that they need. But obviously, they're always kind of a lot shorter. You know, I could never do an hour's class. I'm thinking about maybe doing some like lives and things like that so that I could do a little bit longer. Although I've got like the Danielle Pisa Method Instagram page that I've put up loads of videos on there, but obviously they're only short, like 1 minute ones. I've got my website, daniellepisa.com, where all of my videos are. And they range between, I would say, like 3 to 7 minutes. But the idea is that they're kind of all like mini bite-sized workouts that you can put together.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of create your own workout from my workouts. But I just really want it to I guess, grow, maybe get a couple more trainers on board. You know, my friends that are dancers, if they're looking to go into the next thing, they'd be perfect because, you know, the whole thing is train like a dancer. So I really need my trainers to have been dancers, had dance experience. But yeah, I think my long-term goal would definitely, I'd love to have my own studio. But for the meantime, I love collaborating with brands. Like the class that you came to was a collaboration between myself, Fitness First, and Reebok. Things like that, like where brands kind of see my vision and see what I'm about. And it's like mutually beneficial. So they're the sort of things I think short term I'll be doing more of, I hope. Like
totally.
I'd love to host some more classes and workshops and things and let people physically come and do it.
Yeah.
But if not, then they can always do it online.
Totally. I love that because you are kind of, you're expanding your brand in a digital form because you're providing these like mobile, you know, workouts that people can do anywhere, which is so cool.
Yeah, exactly. I just think accessibility for me is such a key thing. There are so many like, oh, you have to sign up and pay a certain amount to do this workout, or you have to be an exclusive member. I think like everyone should have the right to be able to exercise and stay fit and also enjoy it as well.
Yeah.
I just, like, my main thing is kind of just people being able to do my workouts.
Yeah, absolutely. So cool. I want to just sort of talk about fitness as it is your area of expertise. So what has sort of your fitness journey been like, and how has it maybe changed from when you were a dancer to now?
Yeah, it definitely has changed. That's for sure. Like I said, I didn't really ever think about working out when I was a dancer because it just came naturally within my job. And then since then, I didn't even necessarily realize the impact that exercise had on my life until I wasn't doing it every day as a dancer. So now I have to kind of be a little bit more disciplined and stricter with myself. And I've set myself the task of doing 3 exercise workouts per week, whether that be just myself in the gym, just doing my own thing, or going to classes. Fortunately, I get invited to quite a lot of fitness events. So they're obviously, I'll always go to them just because, you know, it's a free workout and maybe something new that I haven't tried before. So now I'm a lot more disciplined with it, like, for sure. But before, like when I was a dancer, I wasn't a member of a gym. Like I didn't go to the gym or anything because I guess I didn't need to.
Right.
Whereas now, like I am a member at I've got a few different memberships at different gyms that kind of do different things. And obviously now I'm a personal trainer as well, which is just another element to, you know, my dance career. I'm not the professional dancer anymore, but I'm the ex-professional dancer turned personal trainer. So I'm now training people on that one-to-one basis, which is still keeping me active and fit because I have to obviously show them what to do and, you know, always be on the gym floor kind of giving it my all. So it definitely has taken a switch, but one that I'm like excited for and really like happy with.
Definitely. And how do you think fitness has sort of affected your mental health? I feel like we talk about this a lot.
Oh my God. Yeah. It still frustrates me that people don't see the correlation between it and they think that fitness is just about the aesthetics. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, you want a great butt? Obviously, yeah, do some squats. Like, of course, fitness is going to help that, but it's so much more than just that. Like, I don't really know. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, like, medically what it does, but I know that things happen inside, like the endorphins and the hormones. Like, I know that when you exercise, it triggers something in your brain, even just to feel like a hint of like success or like a pride in yourself, totally. Even if you're absolutely knackered and you know, you might be really hungover and you might feel really sick, but there's something in your head that's like, I'm glad that I did that. That just like a little ounce of positivity makes such a big difference. And it's something that I definitely feel I exercise now mainly for like to keep a good peace of mind for my mental health. I personally don't do it for the aesthetic reasons. And I've said this loads online. I feel, you know, I've been very blessed that genetically I am quite slim. I think as well, dancing since the age of two has probably helped contribute to that.
A bit, I'm sure.
But I'm one of those people, I don't gain weight particularly easy, but actually like the lack of exercise doesn't necessarily affect my weight, it affects me mentally. Mm-hmm. So actually it's something that you can't even see. So you don't even think about all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm such an advocate for exercise and mental health being related.
Yeah, I'm so with you. I couldn't agree more. And I feel like when we go to events together and I might have a workout schedule the next day, I always say to you like, should I go? I think I'm going to be tired in the morning. And like you always say like, yes, absolutely. It's like, even if you're tired, you're going to go. You're going to get something out of it. Even if it's a 25, 30 minute workout.
Yeah.
You will benefit mentally, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. You're always getting something from it.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those of us trying to stay fit, maybe tighten things up, spring, summer's coming our way. What are your biggest tips for this? Are they mainly diet? Is it mainly, you know, focusing on specific workouts?
I think diet is just a standard thing in life that we should all be very conscious of. Whatever diet we choose, whether it be meat-free, vegan, you know, there's so many different types, gluten-free, all of this. But I think diet, regardless of whether you exercise loads or not, is obviously just like a given. You know, like if I have to tell people that eating like takeaway every night is bad, I feel like they need more help than I can offer, really. You know, like we're all intelligent enough to know what we should and shouldn't do. But I think in terms of, you know, if there's little like tweaks or you just want to feel more confident in yourself, I think it's about doing what your body enjoys. Like, obviously, my workout is one type of working out, but I say to people, if that isn't what your body enjoys, don't do it. Running might be your thing. Yoga might be your thing. There are so many different types of exercise. You know, personally, I love boxing. You know, couldn't be further from dancing. I love it. Like, that's like one thing that I love that I don't really know about, but my body reacts well to it. I enjoy it. So I would always say, like, A, plan your workouts in. Because if you schedule them in and you know, right, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm going to do a class, and you say, you know, you book in, if it's before work, after work, whenever. Once you've made that plan, and also plan with a friend, because then you're committed to like not letting your friend down. Once you've made that plan, that's it. It's in your diary. It's there. You're going to do it. You're not going to put in any other plans in there. And you go about your week knowing that you've got that coming up. So I would say plan is one thing. If you kind of have got a goal, say by summer, you want to get to a certain dress size or whatever. But also like try a variety of things. Don't just think that the girls on Instagram, you know, they do that, so I have to do that. Try what they do. But if it's not for you, like that's okay too.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I'm with you. I'm such a fan of boxing. What are your favorite studios in London for that?
Ooh, okay. So for boxing, it would have to be either BXR, which is not that far from where we are right now. Or Kobox, and there are a few studios. There's one in Chelsea, one near Baker Street, and there's one in the city as well. So they're my favourite boxing workouts, like for definite. Although I recently tried another one called Victor Soul, which is near Aldgate, so it's like kind of east. And that was also really fun.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I'll have to check
they're like
that out.
Boxing studios. P-Cycle, I do love.
P-Cycle.
I do love P-Cycle, but not for their spin. You know me, I'm not a spin
girl.
Right,
I know you're not a fan of spin, but they just expanded.
They've got bar. Yeah, they've got bar, they've got yoga, they've got like strength and conditioning rooms.
Yeah.
They've got loads of things going on. So they're another one as well.
Yeah. It's funny, I feel like since I've gotten here, the London fitness scene has really sort of blown up.
Like yeah.
Maybe it hasn't quite caught up to New York, but there are new studios always popping up and there's like endless options. So it's good.
Yeah. And with things like ClassPass as well, because you have ClassPass in the States, right?
Yes. We have ClassPass in the States. And then I moved over here. I kept it for a bit, but there weren't as many options as
See, I've never used it, but yeah. I just have heard that it's good because you obviously... You can, like, you get basically like loads of different classes, and you have to obviously pay like membership to each studio. You can just,
yeah,
kind of flit in and out.
Totally. And you can try a variety of stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely. So for someone who maybe has gotten out of a workout routine, mm-hmm. maybe they're not working out as much as they used to, do you have any tips for sort of like revamping your fitness routine if you're kind of starting from scratch, I guess?
I would say, again, like plan, you know, like kind of put it in your diary. And also maybe take a look at why you slipped out of it, whatever your reason. It could be because work got really busy and life kind of, you know, there are other priorities. As important as exercise is, you know, people do have other things going on in their life. So whether it be that, whether you just kind of feel as though, oh, you got to a certain place and you were happy with it. And so you thought, oh, cool, I can take a bit of a step back. But I know this is going to sound really cliche, but like exercising, it is a lifestyle. You can't just do it for a bit. Like so many people, I get so many DMs from people saying, how many times or how long do I have to do these exercises for until I can stop? Until I get abs and then I can stop. And I'm like, what?
Bless them.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, you can do it for that long. You get abs, you can stop, but you're just going to, surely you can see that what's going to happen there. Like, surely I don't need to tell you. So I think it is about just figuring out why it slipped and how you can kind of get back into it. And always like buddy up. I love working out with friends. I love like being like, hey, Em, do you want to go to a class? Let's try and arrange a class. Like we've got one coming up in like a couple of weeks, I think, when
yes.
you're back. Yeah.
P-cycle.
Yeah,
P-cycle. I think we're going to try bar though or something.
Yeah.
yeah, I'm with you. Then you're right. You're held to your schedule. It's
yeah.
in the diary. You're accountable for that and meeting your friend. And yeah, you don't have too many drinks and you just can't show up the next day. Like you're going to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Totally. So I know we talked a little bit about your workouts. So where can we find your workouts? DanielPizermethod.com.
Yeah. DanielPizer.com is my website. Yeah. And then the Daniel Pizer Method Instagram.
Perfect.
And that's kind of where loads of them are. Also on YouTube. I mean, if you just search me on YouTube, like I think out of like, if you even just search, I think dance workouts, I think my workouts are like in like take over like the top 20.
Perfect.
Basically of dance workouts on YouTube, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And how long are they? They're not like very lengthy, right?
No, I think yeah. on YouTube, the longest one is like 10 minutes. But again, like they're all usually like specific areas. So you could do like a dance workout for the legs, one for the arms, or you could do just like a pure ab workout, which might not really yeah. be so dance focused.
Yep.
So there, if the dance part of it kind of turns you off, there are just pure exercises. And I literally just do four exercises. I talk you through them. I talk about like different technique tips. And that's kind of more of like a HIIT style. You literally just do it wherever, you know, in your lounge, in your bedroom, on the go, hotel room. So I'd like to think there's something kind of for everyone who doesn't maybe want to go to a gym or doesn't have access to a gym, but still wants to work out.
Totally.
You barely need any equipment for them. Or if you do, it's like a resistance band. I think I got a pack of four resistance bands off Amazon for like £5.
Yeah.
It's like super affordable stuff, you know.
Totally.
But yeah, so I'm kind of all over the internet, basically.
Taking over the digital yeah. space. Yeah, I love that too, because it's like if you have 15, 20 minutes in the morning, I know when I can't make it to a class, I just want to maybe like do a quick video or something like that, still feel like I got something. So yeah. that's nice. And then people can pick and choose like which areas they want to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like I've got, you know, like a comment thing on my website. So people can always, like, I'm always getting emails. I got one this morning from a lady saying, oh my God, you put up this ballet style work. I absolutely love it. Like, can we get more like that? So I'm always like listening to what people want. And obviously ultimately, like I only do as well as what the audience kind of do, like help me, you know. So if I want to do better, I need to give the audience what they want. So
yeah, absolutely. I love that. Okay, another topic and our last topic we have to chat on.
Okay.
And I know this is something you and I are, we're both pretty passionate about it being that we're both in this influencer space, social media space, sort of the negative effects of social media. So I know we've talked about this, but I'm excited for you to share sort of with the audience, like how often are you on social media on a given day? And then the boundaries you've created for yourself, which I know we've kind of chatted on.
Yeah. I actually feel as though over the last couple of weeks, I've got worse on social media. I find myself reaching for my phone way more than I would like to. But then I also think that because we live in that freelance space, if work's a little quieter or life isn't as hectic, and I do find myself at home more, which is great because I can spend more time sat on my computer doing work, but I also, my phone is just there. And I'll just, if I'm kind of bored over like, oh, I've written like 4 emails now, I just have a little break, I'll pick up my phone. So recently it has been bad, and that's one thing that I am trying to do. Although, yeah, like I said, like right at the beginning, I now have that social media ban on myself until I'm up and showered every morning. And ultimately, yeah, I don't have to stick to it, but the only person I'm going to disappoint if I don't do it is me. Like, there's no one else in my flat watching me do it. So it's like, if I don't do it, I'm only lying to myself, you know, like I have nothing else to prove to anyone. So I am trying to get better. But I think the way that Instagram works, like they just hook you in, like they just want you to be on there all the time, which is why the algorithm keeps changing. Because have you noticed, like, since the algorithm has changed, people are now switching up their content. Like, you know, we spoke about this before, like video content now, you know, IGTV, like I know that you've basically like blown up on IGTV because you obviously realize that's the way that things are going. So you're like, cool, I'm going to jump on that, obviously. And that's Instagram's way of saying, yeah, we've hooked you in one more way as well. You were already posting photos. Now we've got you doing IGTV. We're going to make this video go viral. You're going to carry on doing it.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like we were talking with some of the girl on girls the other night and we were like, it's like crack.
Yeah.
Like they might put your video on the Explore page and you're shown to a new audience and then you're then sort of validated. You're like, well, this is working. Then I'm going to keep making these videos. And yeah, I mean, they get you. They're playing it quite well.
Yeah. Yeah. They are smart. I think a lot of people are going against them. And don't get me wrong. I have my like fair share of like moans for Instagram. I'm saying Instagram because that's like the most widely used social media platform, but of course there are loads of different platforms out there. But ultimately, I mean, it has created jobs and careers, so we can't hate on it too much. But I think it's okay to spend time on it as long as you are aware that there is life outside of Instagram as well.
Yes.
And I think that is something that I have always tried to remind myself of. My family aren't really on social media. They might have the odd browse, but they don't really care about it. So like when I'm with my family, it's like, you know, it's a social media free zone, as it were. And then when I'm with friends as well, as much as possible, we all try and kind of be very present. I think that's one thing that is starting to lack nowadays. People aren't so present in the moment. You know, we were at an event the other night and they were doing this big unveiling of this like circus theme, and you looked up and you just saw phones everywhere rather than actually appreciating. And I was one of those people because I was like, I need to capture this for the gram,
right?
And actually everyone else is doing it. I don't really need to do it. I can just be like, go and look there, watch their story.
True.
So it's like kind of just be present in the moment and enjoy that, because ultimately, a bit like how MySpace died, Instagram could die.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then what are we going to do? We're going to have missed out 10 years of our life because we've only done it through stories.
Yeah.
And before we know it, we're like 40 and like, oh, hang on. Like I missed out more in my 20s or 30s.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is definitely something that I'm trying to do and like just make sure that I know the difference between Instagram and then like real life as well, you know?
I'm so with you. I feel like it's definitely kind of getting worse and worse, I guess, in the sense of, right, we're going to these events and it's harder to be in the moment. Mm. Fashion Week has just come and gone. And so one of the boundaries I've set for myself is Saturdays and then Sundays too, if I can, I won't really be posting on stories. I won't post on my feed. I'll just kind of take those couple days to just be with my husband, Nick, just be with friends, just hang out. But with Fashion Week falling over the weekend, it was just kind of like, okay, the regular work week, my usual social media schedule, then it's through the weekend because I obviously can't stop.
Yeah.
So I'm totally feeling that.
I think that's like, obviously that is your job as well. You know, like it's in your interest to be active during Fashion Week because it's kind of integral to your brand, I guess. So, you know, yeah, every so often we might have to make these, you know, slight allowances. But I think as long as we kind of know, like, you know, you don't usually do it at the weekend, but Fashion Week and like, you know, Nick would be like babe, like, it's work, you know, you have to do that.
Yeah, totally.
Just as long as you maybe weren't doing it every weekend, and you know, you know, like when you should and shouldn't. And I think that's what's important, kind of knowing, okay, I'm doing this for work now, or I'm on it like purely for social reasons, or actually I don't need to be on it at all. Like, what are people gaining from me being storing this coffee cup right now? Nothing. So is it really important? No. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, it's good for us to talk about the fact that it's okay to take breaks.
Oh my God. I took a break last year and it was the best thing. I was off Instagram. Well, I was off all social media for just over a week. And I didn't make any big old hoo-ha over it. I did say, guys, I'm just going to step back for a little bit. I'm not going to hoo-ha. You're laughing at hoo-ha,
right? I'm laughing at hoo-ha, but also because I know what you mean. I think people often will be like, guys, I'm going to take a social media break. And you know, they feel the need to blast it out. And then it's like, well, aren't you defeating the purpose of the break that
you're
taking?
They announce it as if they've announced the royal wedding.
Exactly.
They're like, it's like big fan thing. And I'm like, just, if you want to leave, just leave. Like, you should be unapologetic in that.
Right. You don't need a PSA. Just do it. Take the time off and you get back at it and no one's going to miss you for 4 or 5 days.
Like, yeah, like,
it's still going to be there.
In reality, there are something ridiculous, like millions and millions of people, like 600, 800 million people on Instagram. No one's really going to miss you, hun.
I know. I think it's something that needs to be said. So
this is so true. 600 million people. And you think that people are going to really notice if you're not posting.
It's very, very true. So how has social media played both, I guess, a negative and positive role for you and your businesses?
I feel like I want to start with the positives. Let's always start with the positive.
Let's do that.
It has allowed me to connect with incredible people all over the globe that I would never, ever have connected with. And I'm not just talking about, you know, career opportunities, although they have been great. I'm talking about, you know, like my followers and people that I kind of feel like I kind of know now, like my regular, like people that are in my DMs who genuinely have great questions or even, you know, want to give me some constructive criticism on some of my work and content. It's like that. I just feel like, okay, so the internet is great for things like that, bringing people together. And then, yeah, obviously, career opportunities as well. You know, it's opened so many doors. Like I said earlier, like Instagram now is a career. It's helped me buy a property. It's helped me do like all these things I just could never have imagined. So the positives are so incredible. The negatives try to take over the positives, but I refuse to let them too much. You know, we have negatives like the constant comparison, which I think no matter how many followers you've got, no matter how successful you appear to be on Instagram, every single person compares themselves. Even, you know, some of the most famous people that are on Instagram, they will look at other people on the platform and have that comparison because nobody is perfect. So even if you look at, for example, someone like Kim Kardashian, who, whether you love her or you hate her, you know, she's hugely successful. She's made a hell of a lot of money. There are things that she probably looks at, you know, on other women, girls on Instagram, and it's like, oh, but I'm not that, or I don't have that, or I, you know, I can't be like that. And I think that that's like one of the negatives definitely for me. And then obviously like people sending hate, which now I just find hilariously funny because I'm like, okay, cool. You've taken the time out to do what?
It's
for what?
Insane.
You know, but I know it is a real serious issue. I worked quite closely with a lot of anti-bullying charities. And it is a real thing, you know, the numbers relating to like young, like people in suicide because of online bullying. Like, I don't want it, obviously this podcast get dark, but like, it's a real thing.
No,
and
absolutely.
I think we all need to make more of a conscious effort to be kinder to one another. Like, not just in the online space, like just in general, but you just don't know what people are going through. And you think that someone is okay. You know, I get comments and people say, I didn't think you'd see it because you get so many comments, or yeah, but look how many followers you've got. So like, how could anything be wrong in your life? I'm like, you need to get a grip on life if you think that being Instagram famous is like the end of all your problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there definitely are those negatives. And then obviously that, like, you know, the whole mental health thing, that kind of all plays into one. But the positives definitely outweigh it.
Absolutely. And so when you do get some of those unnecessary like trolls or negative comments, do you have like a tactic? Do you sort of address them, look the other way?
I think it depends on what the comment is. If there are any really derogatory things, either, you know, if they're offensive, you know, racially or they're sexist or they're offending my friends or my family, I just instantly delete them and I'll block the account. Because I'm like, I have no time for any form of like racism or anything that extreme. I don't need you anywhere near me.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I do enjoy killing them with kindness, and I know it's really awful and my mom always has a go at me for it. But I just think that like, I'm such a sarcastic person. Like, you know me, like I'm sarcastic anyway. So if I can go back with a sarcastic comment, but actually something that can't be, you know, I can't be accused of being rude, then I'll like do it. But on the whole, I try to ignore it. Yeah. Like right. I feel as though I don't really get it that bad anymore. I used to get it quite bad.
Yeah.
Now, not so much. And I kind of think whatever comment it is, I'm like, it usually stems from jealousy. You know, yeah. It's usually always a jealousy yeah. thing.
Absolutely. But I think your attitude probably allows for you to not get like consumed by any of that stuff. You yeah. kind of have to like be that way about it.
Yeah. Kind of like water off a duck's back. Do you have that saying?
What is it?
Water off a duck's back. Okay. Like it just like flows off. Like, you know, how, like ducks like okay. go in the lake and then they come out and the water just flows off, like just with ease, like just let it go.
I like that. Never yeah, heard
use
it.
Use that. Go, take okay. that back to the States. Make it a thing.
I love it. I think this is the perfect place to stop. This was a really fun conversation. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. It's been so fun.
Yeah. So where can everybody find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
So my main Instagram is just at Danielle Pisa. And then obviously my method one is Danielle Pisa Method. I also have Twitter as well, at Danielle Pisa, which I just find I do more like random sarcastic comments and like comment on like random things that are happening in life. And then where else do I have? Oh, my website, daniellepisa.com. Like they're kind of my main things. YouTube as well. Okay. I was like, just that one. And then I was like, just reeled off like six different places you can find me.
No,
basically just search Danielle Pisa on any platform. And you should find me.
And you will find her.
Yeah.
I love it. Really threw us a curveball with the Twitter, though. Thanks for that.
Right?
Perfect. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please, please, please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this episode and podcast on iTunes. And we will see you guys next time.